Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. On Wednesday, the EPA released major new rules designed to ratchet down tailpipe emissions from cars and trucks, one of President Biden's most ambitious actions to combat climate change. By government estimates in these rules, 68% of new cars sold in 2032 will be electric vehicles, way up from Biden's goal of 50% electric vehicles by the end of the decade. So today, Politico's Alex Guillen talks about what you need to know about these rules and the potential political and legal fallout. It's Thursday, March 21st. Alex, can you put these new EPA rules, these auto rules, highly anticipated, can you put these in perspective for me? How big a deal is this?
Just in terms of climate, this is one of, if not the biggest, climate regulations that the government has ever done. Over the lifetime of the vehicles in this rule through 2055, it's expected to save 7.2 billion tons of carbon emissions. And that's well over what the U.S. emits in total in 1 year. And then also in terms of technology, we're already seeing, you know, automakers moving toward electric vehicles. We're seeing greater public acceptance. And it's going to accelerate that change.
I know you spent a lot of time on your nerd guide for our diehard audience. Everyone always looks forward to that. And you write in there that the rules are 1,181 pages long. So can you just kind of break down the significant pieces of the rule? And how much does it, you know, stay consistent or shift from the original proposal? Because if I'm remembering, I believe the automakers had some concerns around the proposal. Has that changed now?
The most important things to know are that over the life of this program, the emissions limits, and these apply fleet-wide to automakers, will have to drop about 50% down to 85 grams per mile. And just for perspective, right now, vehicles sold in 2024, the fleet-wide average requirement is 192 grams. So that's a pretty big drop, you know, when you're considering this is about a 7-8 year period we're talking about. The other thing that people like to hear about from this rule is electric vehicles. Now, the rule does not require sales of electric vehicles. And EPA says that in theory, the rule could be met almost completely by improving gasoline vehicle efficiency. But that's not the lowest cost option. So EPA has projected that by 2032, 68% of new sales will be electric vehicles. And that's a category that includes the full battery vehicles that I think most people think of, you know, like Teslas and such that only run on plugged-in electricity. But it also includes a category called plug-in hybrids. And these are vehicles that have both batteries that can get you sort of relatively short distances and also gasoline engines as well. So they have both technologies. One thing that was different in the final rule was the treatment of plug-in hybrids. There was a couple of things. One, EPA factored them into its analysis, which it had not really done in the proposal. It had focused entirely on battery electric vehicles. And then two, it also delayed reducing credits for plug-in hybrids. It had proposed cutting those completely in 2027. It's now delaying at phasing it out over a longer period of time. One other major change, it was that the stringency was essentially pushed back over the program. So originally EPA had proposed a steeper increase in stringency at the beginning of the program and then leveling off a bit. After hearing from automakers, they sort of changed that and made it a little bit more level and pushing a lot of the stringency increases toward the back of the program, the 2030s, essentially.
Got it. And yeah, you mentioned the, you know, automakers seem on board. You know, who else are you hearing is either, you know, happy or unhappy with how this came out? But, you know, what are you hearing so far?
Yeah. So I mentioned the automakers seem to be on board, which is going to be important for EPA as it's going to be defending this rule. They did also win over the United Auto Workers, the union. They had raised some concerns about EPA's proposal, but there were some changes in there that the union says has won them over as well. Part of the concern, you know, in this area being that shifting jobs from building gasoline vehicles to electric vehicles, EV jobs tend to have a lower quote unquote quality to them. So they're typically lower paid, have fewer benefits. And to the union's point, a lot of EV manufacturing is not unionized, at least not right now. But there were changes to the rule that they liked. Also, overall, environmentalists are pretty thrilled with this. The vast majority of environmentalists I've talked to are on board with this rule. But you're right, there has been some opposition. We've heard from Republicans, both some attorneys general in the states and from Republicans in Congress, that they very much dislike this rule. So I would expect to hear more on that from them soon.
On the point of the politics around this, I mean, I'm just wondering what you're tracking next, you know, of course, from a political standpoint. What are you looking at and kind of how do you see it as, you know, how vulnerable could this rule be as in its chances of actually sticking?
Yeah, I think there's two big threats to this rule. The first is political, in that if Donald Trump is elected this fall, I would expect him to claw this rule back and try to weaken it. When he was first elected in 2017, he pulled back on the Obama-era rules. Things are obviously a little different now. You know, automakers are much more on board with this kind of rule. But I would imagine that if he's president, however the automakers are lobbying, I would expect him to still try to pull this rule back in some way. The legal threat, which is largely applying if President Biden wins re-election, yes, this rule is definitely going to get sued over. It sounds like not from the automakers. I won't speak for every single manufacturer, but the alliance is on board. But I would expect to see lawsuits from number one, Republican states, and number two, the oil and biofuels industries, the liquid fuels industries, because they're losing out market share as more and more EVs hit the roads. That's the coalition that we saw that challenged previous Biden tailpipe rules. And we're still waiting on a ruling on that one, so that will help guide how this goes forward. But at oral arguments last fall, that rule, which got to about 17% EV sales by 2026, the court was definitely sounding like they were not seeing it as a major questions issue, which the Supreme Court has now defined. How much more leeway EPA might get is a good question here. But I will say, you know, one thing that EPA might have going for it, the judges were definitely interested in the fact that automakers were not challenging that prior rule. And so if that continues forward this time and automakers don't challenge this rule, that could also definitely help EPA out because they're the regulated industry. Even though, you know, obviously the oil and biofuels industries have an obvious stake in this, you know, they're not the directly regulated industry in this scenario.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Also, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm told House appropriators on Wednesday that the Energy Department's study on whether new LNG exports are in the national interest is likely to be completed around the end of the year. As we've covered extensively on this podcast, President Biden triggered a political firestorm by issuing a new pause on new export licenses in January, while the agency examines the climate impacts of the shipments as well as the effect on the U.S. economy. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.